cliffcentral.com. 360 Biz on cliffcentral.com.
It is 360 Biz. My name is Tabo Mafodi. Welcome to another exciting installment of 360 Biz. I'm not alone in studio. I'm with my boy, Bulelani Bala. Are you good, boy?
I'm all right.
I'm fit. I'm used to you wearing straight cap.
Yeah.
Today you come... No, my man. This cap is... Okay. Yeah. Let me ask, ma'am, is this cap straight?
It looks kind of slanted to me, so
definitely.
slanted. Nah, man, I'm good. I'm a bit heartbroken, a bit.
Why?
I was drinking coffee on my desk at the office earlier.
Okay.
I spilled the coffee on my laptop.
Mm-hmm.
It took me an hour and a half to try and get it going. Some of the buttons aren't working.
Eish.
And then Ezra was...
It's sugary.
Listen, and Ezra was coming back here, and I left it on the fan in that hour and a half.
Mm-hmm.
So Ezra was coming here. It started to work a bit, but some of the buttons weren't working. And then like over months, I spilled water on the keypad again.
Finally,
like my whole day was ruined. But apart from that, I'm good. I'm happy. I'm alive. It's Wednesday. I'm used to it being Tuesday. I'm so used to the show being on Tuesday.
No, I'm also for to having gotten used to the Wednesday thing. Eh? It's new to some of us.
Why are you so casual today? Or
what's going on? I'm trying to be you, but I saw
this.
No, I mean, I'm trying to be you. I saw
trying to be me.
If I'm gonna wear a suit and this
shirt
and that,
on, though.
I see. In fact, it's said that I'm trying to be you and you're trying to be me.
Oh, if I had horns,
yeah. And for me, I don't want to be too serious, you know. The next thing, the doctor becomes deep, you know. But we're having a doctor today in studio. The next thing, it becomes deep here, you know. But I mean, good thing, at least no one is wearing a suit and tie. So it's like we all got the memo to say we need to be casual about today, right?
Yeah, and I mean, I'm not feeling so good. I was supposed to see an ENT specialist as well, so maybe we could just do something in
ENT.
The studio.
Yeah, that's too much English, bro. What is ENT?
I don't know what an ENT specialist is, but it sounds kind of cool when I say it because average people don't understand it. I'm kidding by the average.
No, definitely. And
could I just please answer my phone?
Bruh,
I'm kidding.
That is the rule of you, Fit. You know, I see we've got beautiful ladies that are sitting here in studio. Tell us about them.
So we've got a beautiful lady today who's in studio. She's just going to tell us a little bit about herself and what she does. I mean, she's doing phenomenal work with regards to youth development, leadership, and all that stuff.
Yeah.
And I think that before I jump into anything, we've got her bio, her very long bio.
Mm.
I mean, maybe you could jump in and just say hi to our listeners, tell us who you are and what you do. And the beautiful lady on my left could also do the same.
Hi, I'm Chrissy, Crystal Cave. A lot of people know me as the World Changer.
A lot of people.
Yes, a lot. Well, yeah. I'm the founder of Youth in Action Africa, and I also run World Changers on the Move. Also, that's under World Changers. So we work a lot with young people from everywhere. So that's what we focus on. We help young people to recognize or to see their potential in what they can do in the communities. And we believe that this is a generation of world changers when young people come together and do stuff together to change the world.
Mm.
So that is me in a nutshell. So I don't like saying I do a lot of things. I just like calling myself the world changer there.
Okay.
That sounds amazing, right?
Sounds good. Yeah, what do you do?
So, hi, everybody. My name is Elizabeth Taranoto. And so basically, I'm a part of the World Changers on the Move. And just my role in that is that I am a communicator. So I communicate everything that we're doing and put it out on the ground. So communications and marketing.
Yeah, communicate.
Ish, yeah, that word, hey?
Comms lady.
Okay.
So you got communication issues at home, call her. She'll communicate.
She'll communicate.
So, I mean, you know, you spoke about, what is World Changer, though?
I mean, you know, many people, you know, when we look at the word world changer, we all want, it says a lot about itself, changing the world. But how are we changing the world as young people? Are we changing the world through public speaking? Are we changing the world through, you know, I don't know, like conversation, having communication? You know, it's very big. So we look at it as we took the entrepreneur the definition of an entrepreneur, that someone who sees a need, you know, and implements that need in the community. And what we've been doing is that we've been focusing in disadvantaged communities, you know, where young people have a different perception of how they view life. You know, there's a lot of young people who are part of our program that are, you know, amazing. They are artists. They are so talented in what they do. And we believe that, you know, if we just said that we want 10% of the world as young people, whether you are doing something different from what we are doing, but when we come together, we are young people who are changing the world.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I mean, you know, you spoke about youth in action. So what's the difference between youth in action and world changes? Is world changes your personal brand, or I mean, what's the pinnacle difference between the two, and what do you get done there?
Okay, with Youth in Action, what we focus there more on, you know, on just going to public schools and giving doing motivational talks. But the world changes under Youth in Action, because I mean, it first started being personal when I was still in Durban, when, you know, some lady just said to me, "Oh, you're a world changer." So I thought to myself, if I could just put that in the organization, it'd be much better if I can incorporate it there. So with Youth in Action, we young people come and join, and we help them to engage into social activities and give back to the community. Now with the World Changer program, it's different because we focus on three gears. We focus on leadership, entrepreneurship, and then the students came up with the one that's ASKAMT, which means let's talk. So that's where we have like different discussions, different you know, they do drama, they do all of those things. So World Changer falls under Youth in Action Africa. That's why whenever we're hosting an event, we always say Youth in Action Africa presents World Changers on the Move.
Cool. And I mean, you know, of all the different things that you could have done, you're doing what is considered a social entrepreneurship. Why this particular thing?
I mean, I believe that there's a difference between a calling and, you know, and something that there's a dream. You know, for me, I grew up in a community where I was told that I could never, you know, amount to anything. I could not, you know, reach that goal that I want to. I'm a dreamer. I dream too much. And my heart has always been with young people. I am young myself, you know, but that's just where I think that it's my calling. As much as we don't get Mula that much on it, but if you do something if it comes from your heart and you have passion, then you'll give it your all, you know. I think you can also just add on that as well.
I think, you know, just to add on what she said, it's so interesting that we as young people just go through all these facets throughout life. We especially people who are called to do something. If you're not, you know, you're not born to be a doctor, you're born to be an artist. How do you even just explain that, put that into words? And I think what we're trying to do, what she's really trying to do, is to create a platform of people who understand where you're at, and trying to just put everybody on the same level and say, be celebrated in your own calling and gift.
I like
so
that.
So at just the age of 23... she's not only a world changer, runs this amazing organization. She's also an inspirational speaker. Tell us a bit about that.
Yes, I've been doing speaking from the age of 16, because that's when I started my organization at that time. And, you know, being more of an inspirational speaker is just me sharing, you know, my past experience and what I'm still experiencing now, because a lot of people see me, they, you know, everywhere, television, radio, and they think that I come from this amazing family, you know, which I'm not from. But I believe that, you know, there's a saying that says that the future belongs to those who believe in the beauty of their dreams. And I believe that I believe in the beauty of my dreams, and I want to share that with other young people as well, you know, where we are unlimited. You know, with World Changers, we are definitely unlimited. And with the kind of events that we've been doing, what we are planning right now, you know, we are setting that standard. And we just thank God as well, you know, because, you know, whatever that we do, we don't just do it out of, we want to be recognized, but it's unity. And also there's a man above that guides us. So for me, you know, inspirational speaking is more of just sharing, you know, what I know. I don't know everything, but every day is a learning curve for me. I learn and I share what I've experienced and what I believe that young people need to hear as well.
So, you know, tell us a bit about some of the activity or rather events that you guys host. Do you guys have any upcoming events or programs and stuff?
Yes, we have upcoming events. We have World Changers on the Move tours. So we're looking at four different cities. We're starting next month. in KZN in Durban with our first tour, the 26th of November. We, you know, basically the purpose of these tours is to get young people to be involved more in our programs, and because we are going to be hosting World Changers on the Move awards next year. So that's something that we've
World Changers on the Move
awards, yes.
Wow, that's nice.
Something,
yeah, no, it is. Hopefully, I mean, when you guys are closer to that, you'll come back so that we tell people about it.
Yes,
definitely.
And they get to apply and definitely be part of this initiative that you guys are running.
I think even with us being here right now is to create awareness in twofold, you know, both to the potential nominees and also to people who'd want to be, you know, supporters of this movement. So, yeah.
So where do people find you guys?
People can find us on Instagram. We are at Youth in Action Africa _. And we are also on Facebook, Youth in Action Africa, and Twitter at Youth in Action A1. Yeah.
I almost
knew it. Yeah, it's the new one.
Before I let you go, I read a bit of your bio. Tell us a bit about your book. I mean, is there anything you can share at this point?
Yes, I can.
Teaser.
Well, my book is titled The Curtain. I'm launching it quite soon. It's conversations that I had with the Lord.
You can be confident to say that.
You can't be apologetic about that.
Yes, yes. It shares more on how he was, you know, the things that he instilled in me, showed me what to do. What I'm doing now is not something that is just I thought about, but it's something that he showed me. So it's conversations and also more of inspiration and just, you know, I guess, you know, I find my strong point in writing. That's where I express myself more than when I'm speaking. And the book is more, it's going to inspire a lot of young people who are, you know, unbelievers, who don't believe that they can, you know, they can do all things that him who gives them strength. So my book is going to be very inspirational, and I can't wait for people to read that. So, yeah.
No, man. Thank you very much. Thank you to you guys for joining us. Come back when you got that book.
Thank you so much for having us as well.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
Definitely. Ladies, thank you. Looking forward to having you again in the new year.
Yes, definitely.
Whatever your term of endearment for your prize rod,
four banger, four by, barge, beamer, beater, Benz, big rig, bike, breezer, chori, chopper, clunker, crotch rocket, genka, ghetto cruiser, hog, hobdy, hypermiler, jalopy, junker, combi, lambo, land barge, pimpmobile, pocket rocket, puddle jumper, render rock scoot, shagging wagon, shitbox, sled, tank, warrant wagon, whoopee!
There's only one place to visit if you're looking to buy a new vehicle. Autotrader.co.za. With simple navigation and over 62,000 cars to choose from, it's a no-brainer. Visit autotrader.co.za today and find your next set of wheels.
You're still tuned in to 360 Biz. You're still listening to Tabohoma 40 right here on Cliff Central. If you've just joined in, you've just missed out on a very interesting discussion that we had with two ladies that are up to changing Africa, that are up to changing the world. And then some of the exciting things they've spoken about, it's actually the awards that they're actually launching next year sometime. But we're definitely looking forward to having them whenever they come in back. But we're continuing with our discussion, SMEs and their determination to succeed. I mean, we'll also take a further look into how executive pay is determined in SMEs. I mean, in addition to that, we outlined the results of the 2016 National Small Business Survey on what opportunities and possible obstacle entrepreneurs may face today. Then later on in the show, we're going to be profiling a platform for community action that allows low-income communities to effectively organize at grassroots level. It's actually innovation technology. I had an actually interesting look yesterday. I tried to actually explore this app. You know, I was told to do *1 something, and you know, and yeah, no, but anyway, let me not get into that. The owner is here, he'll definitely tell us about it. Let me not waste any further time, let me get straight to the discussion and welcome our guest in studio. I'm sitting with Dr. Mark Busan, who's the executive committee member of the South African Reward Association. Dr. Mark, how are you?
I'm well. Thank you for having me.
No, definitely. It's good having you here. And let me take this opportunity just to welcome Jordan. Is it Luke Jordan?
Yes.
Oh, okay. How are you, Luke?
I'm good, thank you. How are you?
No, definitely. On the line, we're going to be as well joined by Mike. Mike. No, it's in. You know, this was between Mark and Mike. There's Mike and there's Mark. Okay, Mike Anderson, who's the CEO and founder of NSBC. But let me head straight to Mike, because as we all know, the executive pay, I mean, it's a trigger for many media commentators and shareholder activities. But the truth is that remuneration committees, REMCOs, have developed several methodologies of tackling what is a very challenging issue. Dr. Mark will be providing insight on the three main methodologies of how executive pay is determined in South Africa, specifically focusing on the SMEs, and he's going to tell us which method works best on their sphere. I know definitely that I'm running a business. I'm an executive myself, so more than definitely I know that it's something that I want to know, that maybe I need to get paid better, Dr. Mark. But obviously you're the expert in that sphere. Maybe do you want to maybe quickly tell us, because obviously there's people that might not know what is the South African Reward Association. Do you want to quickly tell us what is it that you guys do?
Thank you. Yes, it's a non-profit association.
A non-profit.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So we have a mission, and the mission is to further the reward profession. So we try to educate people in how reward works, how to set it, how to administer it, how the process works, how the governance around it works, and we develop reward professionals. So we have internship programs, we have training programs, and it's an association for reward people to belong to, and we provide a platform for them.
No, definitely. No, thank you for that. So, but Dr. Mark, I mean, tell me, I mean, the issues of executive salary is very interesting and has challenges of its own. Not so long ago, I mean, our show had a guest from the United States. She said she was underpaid, mainly based on the discrimination of her being a female. I mean, until she received assistance from lawyers who then helped her to actually get what was owed to her from the company that she was working for. But now, I mean, the issue obviously had landed up in court for her to actually be in a position to get that. I mean, which methodologies should SMEs use in this instance?
So SMEs should look at salary surveys. What a salary survey is an organization who are probably consultants collect the salary survey data, the remuneration data from companies. They produce averages and medians and quartiles, and they give the data back to those companies. So you're trying to compare yourself with a company of a similar size and complexity as yourself. So if you're starting out, you're a small SME, you've probably used your gut feel to set the first pay. As you could afford it, people got paid. But when you pass a tipping point of around 50 to 100 people, then you need a more systematic way of doing it. You subscribe to the survey by giving your data to the survey. You get all the other companies' data back, and then you can say, right, what is the median pay for an accountant or a secretary or an executive or something like that of an organization of a similar size as me?
Is it? Bulelani runs TEATS, Township Entrepreneurship Alliance, every month. I think we must invite you to one where he hosts a range of SMEs that obviously I know that one thing, remuneration, it's something that we do completely wrong. That's why you find some of us, when we started, we got into a business of hiring family and friends in order to avoid rewarding people, I mean, accordingly. And one of the interesting things that I've realized, Bulelani, even attending some of your events, SMEs are very quick to give you business cards and network. And most of the most interesting thing that always stands out is the title of CEO. I mean, alone, may, you know, the title suggests big money. I mean, but does the size of the company contribute in a way of this?
So if you're the CEO of a small shoe store or a grocery section, you are not paid the same as the CEO of Anglo American or Pick and Pay, because what's different is the size of the organization. So one needs to have an appreciation of how, from a pay point of view, do you determine the size of an organization? And size is a function of the turnover, It's the assets. It's the market capitalization if you're listed. Mm-hmm. It's the number of employees. It's your net profit. And then we put them into baskets. So you've got small companies, you've got medium companies, you've got large companies, and you benchmark with companies of similar size and complexity. So if you've got 10 staff or 50 staff, you'll be in one bucket. If you've got 100 to 500, you'll be in another bucket, 500 to 10,000, and so on and so on. And so that's how you do the comparison. And you're quite right. You start off with what you've got, and you employ family who do things as a favor, and even you as the owners, when you start your businesses, you pay yourself less, you draw less, because you That's put true. All the money back into the business. But then there comes a point where someone wants to buy you, and they do a due diligence, and then they say, hey, but your pay is all too low. You need to get market-related salaries, and that's how we're going to cost in the offer to buy you as a business.
Yeah, but now, I mean, what makes a company be in a position to actually pay market-related? Isn't it a company that makes money? But obviously, how many small businesses are in that level that actually bring in money?
So indeed, so turnover is vanity.
Yeah.
Profit is sanity, and cash flow is reality. So if you're a struggling small company, even though the people across the road are paying better salaries or bigger salaries, you can't match it because
That's true.
You're struggling. So if you've got the cash and if you've got the profit and if the money's there, ideally you need to move towards market-related. So in the life cycle of an organization, you've got startup, you've got growth, mature, and decline. In growth and mature, somewhere on that path is where you can set the salaries to be market-related.
Mm.
On startup, there you scratch with a string and a piece of plaster and a piece of glue. You know, you're stuck.
Yeah.
But there the emphasis is on ownership, so shares. So you own 50% and you own 50%. What's in it for you is that you want to grow the worth of your share, you see? So that's also remuneration in a way, even though it's not moolah, you know, that you can spend right now. But when it's worth 100 million, well, then you get your money.
Look, you look like you pay yourself market-related industry.
No.
Are you sure?
Yes, very sure.
No, definitely. So maybe, Doctor, I mean, how does the size and technological changes of the industry influence the salaries, though?
So there's a high correlation between company size and the CEO's remuneration. It's as simple as that. The bigger the organization, the higher you get paid. So there's several methods, and all the methods kind of go down to the same answer in one way or the other.
Mm-hmm.
It boils down to market benchmarking, where you look at the size of the organization. You can do how do other firms, if you're a big bank, how do the other big banks perform and relative to their performance? That's a relative issue. And the last one is measuring in millimeters, where we take measurements and we measure the job and size it to a very specific point, and we can tell you within 10,000 rand how much you should be earning.
Okay.
And the point you raised about women is absolutely true. So there's this thing called the gender gap and the 77 cents debate, where women in the US earn 77 cents to the dollar. And there you can rephrase that by saying from October they work for free. That hurts because you're doing the same job.
I think that drives it home.
Yeah. And what we're trying to do is understand, how does it happen? You know, why does it happen? Because when you go to a company and you say, do you in your company pay men and women the same? Everyone says, yes, let's see your remuneration policy. It looks perfect. There's nothing there that says we pay according to gender or race or whatever the case is. But it creeps in because of a big, long history and social bias that says, oh, maybe there's a male breadwinner, maybe they're going to go off and have a baby, maybe this, maybe that, and we've also found that women aren't as good at negotiating and asking for that deal. They trust. They say, pay me fairly, pay me on the midpoint of the pay scale, whereas a guy might be a lot more pushy and he might say, hey, let's do it. But it's inexcusable, and we have something called equal pay for work of equal value. It's Section 6 of the Employment Equity Act, and our companies in South Africa, by law, have to state why they pay certain jobs a certain value, the same amount of money.
Okay. Doctor, before I move over to Mark, is there a specified market benchmark for SMEs, though?
So all the salary surveys would include SMEs. So they would have the small organizations, the medium and the large, and any one of the big salary survey providers in South Africa would have data for SMEs. So SMEs need to just find the closest salary survey provider to them and make sure they're comfortable with the supplier, and they will be able to get the data in exchange for them giving their remuneration data.
Yes, moving right along, I think let me move over to Mr. Mike Anderson, who's the CEO and founder of the National Small Business Chamber. Mr. Anderson, how are you, sir?
Good to be here.
No, definitely. We're looking forward to having you in studio, actually.
You know what? Time is there, and unfortunately, I would have loved to have been there, but certainly next time.
No, definitely. You heard that I was just asking, you know, Dr. Mark, about the benchmark for SMEs. Obviously, you being, you know, the CEO and founder of the National Small Business, I mean, you realize that despite the tough economic times, South African SMEs have shown and continued resilience. I mean, according to the 2016 National Business Survey, I mean, it's something that is definitely, I mean, out there that we're struggling with as far as small business is concerned. Maybe before I actually get to my question that I want to ask you, do you want to perhaps quickly tell us what is the National Small Business Chamber of Commerce?
Yes, of course. Thank you for that. National Small Business Chamber, or NSBC as abbreviated, is South Africa's largest organization representing the small to medium business sector. Also the fastest growing organization. We have over 109,000 SMEs who are members of our organization, importantly a non-profit organization. And our whole mission in life is, of course, to help SMEs stay in business and help them to build their businesses.
No, definitely. We like that. I mean, thank you, by the way, for your time. And one of the things that I want to ask, Mike, poor financial management, I mean, still remains the biggest problem for SMEs, because it's one of the things that I was asking Dr. Mark in regards to the benchmark and the size of the company determining that. I mean, why do you think SMEs are having poor financial management problems?
Thank you for that. You know, at the top of the poll, if you look at the survey and the consistency of the survey, you know, the financial aspect comes into it. And if you look around the financial aspect, you know, the access to funding is an important part of that. And of course, small businesses are struggling to access funding, and there's a number of reasons for that. If we get back to the financial management side, but certainly right at the top there is access to funding. There is poor financial skills related to poor financial management. I think what's important there is that small businesses are not understanding the importance of credit worthiness and monitoring their credit worthiness, and therefore these kind of factors, they're not behaving themselves in a way to borrow money, and of course the lenders aren't giving them the education to be able to make that right decision to be able to access funding. So certainly a lack of training, innate skills related to finances is a big problem. And of course, we spend a great deal of our time throughout the year through what we do in educating SMEs what they need to do to understand the importance of cash flow and to assure themselves to be brutal on the money and, of course, behave themselves in a way so that they can access funding.
So, Mike Bulelani here.
Hello there.
Co-host. I'm sure you're thinking, hey, who's this guy with the voice? So, I mean, you know, one of the things that is top of my mind is that other than financials, what are some of the other problems you guys incur when it comes to the SMEs?
Well, very importantly, finance is one thing, but the number one challenge right now, if you look at all the factors in our survey, is the inability for a small business to build a customer base and boost top-line sales. So the lack of sales and marketing training, the inability for the business owner to be the rainmaker in that business, and the way SMEs struggle to find customers, to build their customer base, and to boost top line has almost overtaken the problems of funding and financial management. And, you know, we have a saying that, you know, if you can make the sale and if you have an abundant... Hello?
Hello, hello.
No, we're still here.
No, you're still here.
Yes, of course. You know, if you have an abundance of sales, cash will flow. And if cash flows, you can fix anything.
Oh, okay. Now, that's true. And I mean, in terms of what sort of challenges have you seen? I just want to go off the book here. You know, because Oftentimes we're told that systems and processes govern the development of businesses. And do you find that most of these SMMEs have got systems and processes in their companies?
My apologies, I didn't get your question.
We're told oftentimes that systems and processes are what govern businesses, or rather business growth. Do you find that most of these businesses have systems and processes, or even have knowledge of such a thing?
You know, what's very important, and thank you for that question, is that the foundation of every business must be at the forefront. And in the foundation of that business, systems, financial platforms, controls, and the ability for that SME to self-compliant is extremely important in their road ahead. If we can have a solid foundation of base, which comes into systems, we can then focus on building our castle. And the unfortunate part about many SMEs is that administratively and system-wise, about 82% of them are not focusing on getting their systems intact, no matter how simple that's necessary to be, but they're not focusing on getting their systems intact in order for them to go out there and build their castle.
Yeah, that's true. And I mean, I think, you know, I mean, I'm an entrepreneur myself, and I mean, I go into business, or rather I wake up every day going out there trying to find ways of, doing business much better or to the level as big business. And I mean, I think my question here is, apart from customer satisfaction and service, what are some of the tools that I can put in place to help me as a small business owner to grow my business to that level?
That's a great question. And if you look at the problem, one of the biggest challenges is for a small business is to have that competitive edge over big business. And one of the fundamental concerns that have come out of the latest survey is that majority of small businesses are not taking care of their professional image. Many don't have websites. Many don't have the professional personalized email system. So, for example, if you're a small business owner and you want to compete in mainstream, you need to professionalize the image of your business. You need to, and this is not a costly exercise. Every small business needs to have a presence, an online presence, a physical presence, and, of course, an image presence so they can project the image and the professionalism of where they're going. And the problem is that you cannot run your own business successfully if you're not running off a personalized domain, you're not running off a personalized email, and you don't have some form of online presence. So we see the biggest challenge there. And if you look at the statistics coming out now, is that 69% of small businesses don't have a website. And we're talking about formal business here. We're talking about that 39% of small businesses don't have a personalized email account. And these are the kind of things that we can do as a small business right now to have that competitive edge and get moving in a positive and accelerated direction.
I mean, you know, you're speaking about thing websites and stuff, and it rings a topic in my head, which is brand equity. I mean, the whole concept and idea of brand equity is one that a lot of us as small businesses don't really think about. That a brand is simply, I mean, a brand is a promise made and a promise delivered. How important is it for us small businesses to know that from the day we open our shops, we're not only building our financials and balance sheet, but we're also building brand equity?
Absolutely. And, you know, and for us to project that brand up there, we need to make that as part of our basic fundamental foundation of our business. And when we intend to go into business or we want to build our business, we need to compete in the open market. We need to do business with other small businesses, and we need to do business with big business and government. So therefore, creating an infrastructure of systems, of brand, and of projecting that image out there. So from the other side, it's perceived that you're a major operator. Now, how many small that you may be, that's got nothing to do with it. You need to have that full circle array of compliancy, of professional compliancy, in order to be able to compete in this market today.
Man, that was very, very insightful. We'd really love to have you in studio so that we are not deprived. I feel very deprived because you've got a wealth of knowledge. Thank you very much for your time. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, sir. Thank you.
Thank you now.
That was definitely Mr. Mike Anderson, who's the founder and CEO for Small Business South Africa. Before we actually, we're with Mike, we're speaking to Dr. Mark. We're speaking to Dr. Mark, and maybe let me go back to him because I think he's got something interesting that he seems to have on his mind.
Thank you. Thank you for that. I just want to pick up on one of the points that he spoke about, and that is systems. One of the systems is a pay system. Mm-hmm. And your pay system is probably 50, 60, 70% of your costs. So if you put in a good incentive scheme to drive sales, or you put in a good commission scheme, that's really what one should be looking at from a remuneration point of view. That's where SARA can assist. Come and do one of the courses or get involved and find out how to actually structure your pay so that you motivate people to get them to go out and get those big deals.
So then do companies pay for that?
Very much so.
Okay.
Very much so. So if you bring in a big deal, you only need to look at the SABC, bring in a great big deal, you get 11 million rand. If you've got other people who are doing sales for you, give them a good commission scheme. Some people design commission schemes where they give too much commission. Some give too little and don't get the behavior. So that is an art, setting the remuneration correctly.
Wow, no, definitely. It's actually interesting. I think me and you must definitely sit and discuss this new remuneration thing. Let me cross over to Luke Jordan from Grassroots. Luke, do you want to quickly tell us what is Grassroots?
Sure. So Grassroots is a set of simple tools to make it easier for ordinary people to organize and mobilize their neighbors. So it works over any phone. The code that you referenced earlier is *134*1994# and that'll work on an old Nokia with little to no airtime or a poor connection. And it takes you through a few set of simple menus. If you can recharge airtime, you can use the applications and the tools. And what it does is it allows you to create a group, recruit people into your group. Whenever you create a group, it creates a unique PIN code for your group. Mm-hmm. If people enter that after the code, after the 1349094, it adds them to your group. And then you can send out meeting requests. You'll have automated meeting reminders. You can call votes on your group, record actions. The meeting call in particular, we think about it as, in a lot of settlements, there's the guy who drives around in the back of the bucky with the megaphone telling everybody when it's time to have a community meeting. And we pretty much replace that with a simple cell phone-based application that will just tell everybody it's time to have a community meeting. You can take a decision in that, and then we'll remind people of the results of it.
Mm. So is this for free?
Yes. But
look, there's a catch somewhere. Huh? Doctor, you know that we don't have things for free, right?
Indeed.
So I will say, so the base system is free to use. We're actually a non-profit as well, so we're funded by various foundations. We are going to be introducing a freemium model. So we're going to be rolling that out by the end of the year, which will introduce additional complexity so that you can customize your messages, so that you can have slightly wider networks of groups and so on. So that will be on a subscription basis. But the basic tool is for free, and it's something that we've built for free because we wanted to help people really in very low-income communities who don't have the resources to be able to use higher.
I mean, yesterday Asanda sent an invite, using this tool.
Mm-hmm.
I thought it was very cool. When she sold me the message, it was actually a message confirming the show.
Right.
For 1 p.m. How is this different from WhatsApp, though?
So, great question. So, there are a couple of things that it does that WhatsApp doesn't. One is it does reach people on any kind of phone, and it'll do that across your group. So, let's say half of the people in your group have a smartphone and half don't. What this will do is it'll make sure that everybody gets the message. The second thing it does is it cuts out what some of the groups we work with call the dead cat problem, mm-hmm. which is you start a WhatsApp group to start organizing or mobilizing or doing something productive. A few weeks later, somebody's cat dies and they post a message to the group saying, "Hey, my cat died." Somebody else posts a picture of a cute cat, and within a few days, basically your productive WhatsApp group has become a forum for people swapping dog photos.
I can assure you, we won't post cats. Not black people don't post cats.
And then the other thing that it does is there's a lot of automation and tracking. So, for example, on WhatsApp, if you want to, say, take a poll, everybody has to say yes or no. You have to count that up. We just automate the counting of that and the recording of it, and we automate the reminders. The last thing I say is we do try to the extent possible to integrate with WhatsApp. So anything that you call on the app, we have a smartphone version that you can do a one-tap share to a WhatsApp group. So you can just integrate across them. if people are using both.
So I mean, Dr. Mark, these are some of the technologies you can use where you've got a lot of staff members. I mean, I'll make an example. Now we've got banks that have two CEOs and others that have, you know. So maybe we must introduce this so that they speak among themselves.
And it's a great tool for SMMEs if you're in business and you want to communicate with your workers. And today you need to come into work earlier or later, or do you need to do this, or someone there's got a big deal, can we support him? That everyone knows what they're doing. So I like it.
Yeah, no, definitely not. I like it too. Do you like the technology? You must actually try it. After the show, you must show him how it works.
I think that one of the biggest things that I'm thinking about, because I run a network and I'm sitting here trying to think. So with the township entrepreneurs that Debuch was telling the doctor about, I'm trying to think, how could we use this for them? Because the nice thing there is that we'd like it to be interactive, where we are always putting up info. But, I mean, does it slow down when it gets bigger? Who can administer? Can it be administered by more than one individual? Because I think that the challenge that we get from other programs like WhatsApp is that's the biggest challenge. So if I don't administer that, no one else does administer that, and it becomes a bit of a problem for working with the team and trying to facilitate information to everybody else.
Yeah, so I think first on the question of does it get slow as it gets bigger, one of the groups that started using our tools about 6-7 months ago has grown from a few dozen people to 1,400 people in their grassroots group at the moment, and they regularly will hold 3 or 4 meetings a week, and we haven't really noticed
for free
them. They're a community movement that's fighting a pretty noble struggle in their community, so it's the kind of thing that we don't mind. And also I say to people, you know, SMS is relative to the cost of like senior software developer time. It's actually, these are kind of different worlds in terms of kind of unit costs. But in terms of the administration, we have built it from the beginning to be flexible in that sense. So you can appoint multiple organizers, and in your group, you can have multiple organizers. You can have committee members and ordinary members, and then you can customize the permission. So let's say you want to say, ordinary members can't call meetings, but committee members can. You can do that. And you can revoke and add that permission with the click of a button on the smartphone app. There is a smartphone version, too, that allows you to set all of those kind of features.
And I mean, with such an application, I mean, how big is it? Because I think that we're in a very data-sensitive area in our lives. I mean, how long is the application quick to load? And how much data does it use? And what are the costs involved?
So overall, in terms of the application at the moment, we've got almost 10,000 users. We are the smartphone app. So the *134 *1994 hash, that version doesn't use any data. It is quite simple because you have to use menus and it takes you through a set of menus. If you have a smartphone, there's an Android app. We haven't built an iPhone, an iOS app, because it's not really our core market. The Android app, we're pretty focused on keeping the size small. So it's an under 10 meg download from the Play Store. And then once it works, we've also focused a lot of our time building it with an offline mode. So you can actually switch it offline, do a bunch of tasks, go back online, and it'll sync up. And also, it only syncs anything that's changed since the last time you used it. So we've been pretty, because our core market is a lot of sort of community movements in areas where people are really, we estimate kind of around 40% of our current users spend less than 20 rand a week on airtime. So we've really optimized it so that it can work for people on that really limited budget.
Are you free or are you dumb? Dr. Mark, I mean, speaking about freedom, in one of your articles, I mean, you spoke about freedom to think in the context of freedom to act. That is actually the last question. What did you mean by that?
Thank you. So the more leeway you have to do whatever you want to do in your job, more probably the higher up you are in your organization, and you're going to get paid more. If you have to wash a car and you have to use this bucket and that piece of soap and that piece of lappy, then your freedom to act is less. So freedom to act is one way of setting executive pay. Out of many, it's just one of the items that gets used in job evaluation.
Doctor, you know, can I take advantage of my power right now and request a meeting or one-on-one just for you to check my remuneration and advise?
No problem. We will gladly do a benchmark exercise for you.
No, definitely.
I think I can see the doctor walking to your office and your staff has been listening to this interview. It's either could be a good thing or a bad thing.
Yeah, no, you must not definitely go there. But more than anything, thanks a lot, gentlemen, in terms of being here on the show. We really had a great time with you. Hopefully next time when we want to have you for another discussion, we're definitely able to have you.
Sure. Definitely. Thank you very much.
No, definitely.
Thank you.
Luke is not alone. He's with a lady, the community builder. Just come say hi to the listeners. Tell us who you are. Yes. What is this you do?
Okay. Sanbonani. Hey. My name is Nokwande Sihlali. I'm a community builder at Grassroot. And basically, what my boss said, I agree with.
I like
everything. This is not usual. This is only on radio that she says
every single thing.
Yeah, okay, definitely. No, she's a good employee. Definitely. Gentlemen, we usually close the show off in style. Word of 30-second inspiration to somebody that is listening.
So if you've started your own business, make sure you take care of your cash, make sure you pay people correctly, and make sure that you incentivize them to be engaged and deliver your results for you.
Mm. Only if they bring in enough money.
Wow. Okay. I would just say that I think the South Africa's economy at the moment, we need more and more entrepreneurs. We need people to take the risk to go out and do things. And people ask me, I was asked yesterday, how do we keep doing this after coming from a corporate job? And trust me, it's pretty tough, but it's so much more satisfying and enjoyable to be building something.
And rewarding.
Exactly. And rewarding, well, in the long term, but to be building something that's yours rather than writing documents.
Definitely. Ma'am, word of inspiration quickly.
Because I'm the only female left, for me, I'll just say for the females, keep passionate and keep working hard. That's all you can do. Don't look for a rich guy. Please stop.
Don't look
that.
For a blesser.
No, like please words. Stop with the blesser. Stop. Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah, man, I think with all that's been said, you've got me thinking about the remuneration.
Pay.
P-A-Y. Yeah. You got me thinking a bit about that, and I think I'll have to go back and consider that. But to everyone who's out there, pay your helpers what they are worth. I saw Checkpoint last night. Pay them what they are worth. Do not cheat your helpers or everyone out there, your employees. Pay them. Pay them. Get things done.
Definitely. No, thank you for joining us on the show. In closing, what am I saying? Put the effort, put the energy, go out of your comfort zone if you need to learn a new thing, and let your worth and your value be the one that determines how much remuneration that you need to get, how much value that you need to get out there. Remember, South Africa has got 50 million people. Those 50 million people are sitting with my money and your money. But for them to take out a rind of their money to actually give them to you, they need to find value in return. So what value are you giving the world? Ladies and gentlemen, this is all that we had for you today, right here on 360 Biz, right here on Cliff Central. You can always go to the website www.cliffcentral.com and listen to the podcast if you've missed out the show. Catch us again next time, same place, right here on Cliff Central, on 360 Biz. My name is Teboho Mafodi and Bulelani Balabala.
Get things done.
We out. Cliffcentral.com.